Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain alone. And as they were looking, Jesus was transfigured. It means he was changed. His face became shining like the sun, and his clothes were white, whiter than any fuller can white them. That's a person who dyes things white. Then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, I can make three tabernacles," that's three little tents, "one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while they were talking, they were enveloped in a shining cloud, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So there they were, wanting to run around doing works, putting up tents. And God says, "No, I don't want you to go running around doing works. Listen to my Son." When the disciples heard this voice, they were terrified, so much so that they fell face down to the earth. But Jesus came to them and touched them. "Arise," he said, "do not be afraid." And they looked up and saw no one there apart from Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell the vision to any man until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." So then, it was a vision. Moses and Elijah were dead. At best, they might have been resurrected to speak with Jesus, but Luke's gospel says that they encouraged him concerning his death that was going to happen at Jerusalem. And so Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets, and they were encouraging Jesus in this vision. But the first person to rise from the dead and live forever was Jesus, so he was the first fruits. So there's no way that we have an immortal soul. We don't go on living after we're dead. We're unconscious until the resurrection, and then we shall be changed. And as they were asking Jesus, they said, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah has to come first?" "Elijah indeed comes first," Jesus replied, "and he shall restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has come already, and the people did not accept him, but rather just treated him just as they liked. And likewise are they going to abuse the Son of Man." Well, I think he means that John the Baptist had been the Elijah prophet and had prepared the way for Jesus, but the Jews didn't really want to know. Then the disciples understood that Jesus spoke to them about John the Baptist. When they returned to the crowd, a man came running to Jesus and kneeled before him and said, "Sir, have pity upon my son. He's an epileptic and he has awful fits." So epileptic, it's when somebody has a fit that makes them do very strange things. And he says he has these terrible fits and he jumps into the fire or into the water. "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus replied, "How long shall I suffer you, you faithless and unbelieving generation? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus has just been there with Moses and Elijah, and now he sees his disciples who are weak in faith. He's so frustrated. So we're all frustrated at times, and Jesus had that feeling as well. Jesus commanded the demon to leave the boy, and at that very moment he was healed. So then, healing epilepsy is described as casting out a demon. But demons don't actually exist. This was just the language of the day that the people used. Because now you can treat epilepsy with tablets and with medication. Whereas in those days, they didn't understand what this was, and they said, "Oh, it must be demons inside him." So the language goes along with how they understood things. The disciples came to Jesus privately, and they asked, "Why couldn't we cast that demon out?" Jesus replied, "Because of your unbelief. I tell you that if you had faith like a mustard seed," which is a tiny little seed, "you could say to this mountain, 'Go away from here, depart,' and it will depart. Whatever you wish could happen." When the disciples were all together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be handed over to those who shall kill him, but after 3 days he will rise to life." And the disciples are very sad. See, they focus just upon the words of Jesus that said, I'm going to be killed soon. They didn't give any weight to the words in the sentence that said, but after 3 days I shall rise again. And so we can be like that. You can read and hear the words of Jesus and just focus on a few bits of them. And then you won't understand properly. That's why when Jesus did rise after 3 days, they didn't believe, because they had not given due attention to his word. When Jesus and the disciples came to Capernaum, the tax collectors came to Peter and they said, does your master pay the temple tax? Of course he does, Peter replied. When Peter went into the house, Jesus said to him, Simon, what do you think? Who pays taxes to the kings of this world? The citizens of the country or foreigners? The foreigners, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, that means that the citizens don't have to pay the tax. But we don't wish to offend these people. So you go to the lake and cast your line. Pull up the first fish you hook, and in its mouth you'll find a coin. That will be enough to pay for your and my temple tax. Take it and pay them our taxes. So Jesus is saying, look, we don't have to do this, but I think we should, because we don't want to offend them, to make them stumble in the path. And that's often how it is, that you don't have to do something, but you do it because you want to live in peace and because you don't want to stop people from believing in Jesus.